Well, the cardja to Jerry Adams on Arish, August Morris Grad to Sola Gumsa, Gwil Shibsha Gumoy. August Tamisha Skrista, Ega Dolo Oich go Hoich, Egan a Fela, Fayan Fela go Hauling, Pisha go Han Han Wai. Agus ar buéhas dana déine a choré le héile, agus na déine ag gloch part. Agus tá sé harafa creicnathe anois. So, it's just approaching the end of the féile, and we're all exhausted, we're all banjacks. But it's been a wonderful experience, and I'll return to that again at other podcasts. Just an amazing week, or 10 days actually, in the life of West Belfast and Father Afield. So I had the privilege of attending many of the debates and the discussions, which are unique and are a very vital part of Fela and Fubble. And well done to all the people who participated, who spoke, who turned up, who raised questions, who were part of the debates and discussions, and particularly to the organisers and to the stewards who ensured that it all went smoothly, and thanks especially to all the venues which welcomed all of us. And I want to just touch briefly on the remarks made by Terry O'Sullivan and Jeremy Corbyn in separate events, particularly their remarks on the importance of organising civic society. Now, Jeremy, a former leader of the British Labour Party, and Terry, former General Secretary of the Labourers International Union of North America, they're wonderful advocates for the imperatives of organising social and political movements to bring about deep-rooted and positive change. And for all of their differences, and the differences in their own countries and the different types of work that they do, the need to organise people and the importance of organised people being part of political change is a common thread in their work. Incidentally, Fela was the first time that these two men met. And their commitment to equality and social justice and their organisational role and empowering citizens and an act of love for Ireland, we're just lucky to have them as friends and as allies. So this podcaster's a long time believer in the power of people, properly organised, strategic and strong in their beliefs and values. And there are lots of current and historic examples of the changes brought about by such movements in Ireland and other parts of the world. Political change will be more meaningful, deep-rooted and advanced if it's led by informed and committed citizens. And shaping a fair society is important, too important indeed, to be left solely to politicians. Of course, public representatives have an important role, including the delivery of legislative and underpinned guarantees of people's rights once these rights have been won. But they're unlikely to be won without popular struggle. Progress is dependent on that. There will never be progress without struggle. And activism is central to this, and activism works. Jeremy, in his remarks, quoted James Connolly to make this point. In the economic basis of politics, Connolly argued, Mar Durche, an effective political force had to have its origins deep down in the daily life of the people, not in the brains of some half dozen gentlemen in Parliament. And for his part, Terry O'Sullivan told us that the labour movement is once again on the rise throughout North America. A new generation of workers is beginning to understand the power of activism. And Terry outlined how Liuna organised labourers, mostly emigrants with little rights or protections, and he, like Jeremy, spoke of the importance of solidarity. An injustice to one is an injustice to all, he said. The trade union movement is the single most effective anti-poverty programme ever devised. Fela and Fubble is a great example of activism and community empowerment. It is inclusive, it is grassroots democracy in action, and on all fronts, cultural, educational, artistic, the creative arts, for the many, and it's enjoyable, full of hope and colour and vitality, and crack agus ciúil. So, activism does work. Creating a new Ireland means ending the union with England, and there's now a way to do this. Activism is crucial to secure that goal. James Connolly believed in the reconquest of Ireland by the Irish people, and I believe in that too. And so did Bobby Sands. Bobby wrote, "The day will dawn when all the people of Ireland will have the desire for freedom to show. It's then we will see the rising of the moon." So there's space for all progressives in the work to shape an empowered movement for a new shared Ireland. As Jeremy Corbyn said, the planning, the preparation and the consultation needs to take place beforehand so that people know what the choice is. What exactly is the proposition they are voting for? And this requires serious and novel engagement. Every available resource and expertise should be pooled. Citizens' assemblies, local forums, civic consultation should all be utilised. That work will be done here in Ireland, obviously. He went on to explain the role for people in Britain. And Terry did the same in relation to North America, and that's important. But few of us will have a contribution to make there, in Britain or in the USA. But if you live there, that's where your struggle is, and we look to you to play your part. But for those who live in Ireland, our work is where we live. And it's clear what we have to do here. Change is underway. Let's be active in shaping and deepening that change. It's time to get involved. It's time to move beyond talking about it or leaving it to others. There is a role for everyone. It's time to be an active citizen. It's time for campaigning, organising, for democratic empowerment. So let's do it, my friends. Let's be an activist. During the Fela, a group of us came together in Áras a Cineál. In fact, it was a very, very large group. It filled two of the floors in the Áras. And the Áras was formally opened by Uachtaráin na hÉireann Michael D. Higgins in April 2019. And through its historic artefacts and its artwork, its innovative technology and storytelling, it teaches us of the life and times of James Connolly, the executed 1916 leader. So a whole gang of us, of family and friends and comrades of Rita O'Hare, who passed away, who died recently, came together to unveil a plaque in the Áras in her memory, because without her unique contribution, this important project might never have succeeded. When Belfast activists first discussed the possibility of opening a centre named after James Connolly to promulgate his teachings, they faced many difficulties. Finding the necessary funding was a particular challenge. Into this critical gap, it was that Rita O'Hare stepped. As Sinn Féin's North American representative, she was uniquely placed to help. Rita was quickly won over to the merits of the project, and with her contacts in the USA, and especially within the trade union movement, she reached out to nearly 20 different unions seeking their solidarity and funding. La Una, in particular, led by Terry O'Sullivan, and the Transport Workers Union, led by John Samuelson, have been especially supportive. As a grateful acknowledgement of Rita's singular contribution, on the day that I launched a Leargus book celebrating Rita's activism, Terry O'Sullivan and myself unveiled the plaque to Rita. So well done, Rita. And Bon Jarrag, that's the name of the Leargus tribute to Rita O'Hare. It's available from www.sinnfeinbookshop.com and an Aishog at 50 Falls Road or www.thelarkstore.ie. This week was also the anniversary of internment. I remember it well, August the 9th. And on that date, the Unionist regime and the British government introduced internment without trial. And it was a watershed moment in the history of the Northern state as hundreds were dragged from their homes, thousands of families were forced to flee to refugee camps, and many of those lifted in the early morning raids were beaten. Internment was an act of mass political violence and intimidation, and it had been used successfully in every previous decade since partition by the Unionist regime. But on this occasion, it failed. The use of internment here, and you know, we who have lived through it and been victim of it, we should know that it follows a pattern employed by British governments going back at least to the middle of the 19th century and in all parts of the empire. Following the failed insurrection in India in 1857, over 20,000 people were incarcerated in what were called mass encampments. 1857, just think about that, folks. The conditions were appalling. Forced labour, starvation were deliberately used to coerce those detained. And such camps were not just used for political prisoners. Later in the 1870s and 1890s, when plague and famine struck in India, new camps were established to separate the hungry and sick. Forced labour of the weak and sick was used again. During the Boer War, the British government ordered the construction of around 100 concentration camps, into which more than 100,000 people, mostly women and children, were herded. They died in thousands through malnutrition, starvation and disease. In addition, 30,000 prisoners were transported to remote parts of the British Empire. After Easter 1916, 1,500 men were interned without trial. Most were held in the Frongoch internment camp in Wales. And in the 1950s and 60s, such camps were used in Malaya and Kenya and other parts of the British Empire as native people fought for independence. In her remarkable Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Imperial Reckoning, published in 2005, Caroline Elkins documented the systematic torture and brutality that took place in Britain's detention camps in Kenya. She revealed the British strategy of detention, beating, starvation, torture, forced hard labour, rape and castration designed to break down the resistance of the people there. More than 1 million men, women and children were forced into barbed wired village compounds and concentration camps. In 2009, five survivors of the Kenya Detention Centre successfully sued the British government. Here, the British government have now changed the law to prevent hundreds who were illegally interned in the 1970s from suing them. So, there are two points to make here. We survived all that. The British didn't put us down. We're still here. We're positive. We're magnanimous. We're generous and we're hopeful. And as we go off to recover from Fela and Fubble, that all of you be positive and hopeful also. Gunyiri and ta livsha, good luck to you all. Banachti, divsha. Slán agus mar dúirt mé banacht.